broadcast, remember, the devil has not forced to tell you that the power of God cannot break. Until our next broadcast, God bless you. From Bishop Kenny Townsend
and Minister Mildred Townsend.
Tell somebody, say, you shall get loaded. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3.
Oh, he's a wonder.
He's a wonder. The gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest and God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective member on this path as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, once again for the opportunity to come through these radio waves and on this radio broadcast, Father, and just share with your people your love, your grace, and your mercy, my Father. And I count it an honor and a privilege, my Father, that you would allow me to share and minister to such distinguished men and women, such distinguished kings and queens, such mighty men and women and children of the Most High God, Father. And again, I'll count it an honor and a privilege, my Father, that you would allow me this awesome opportunity, my Lord, to share with your people your love, your grace, and your mercy, and your end-time message, my Father, the gospel of the kingdom. So, Lord, I would ask that you would anoint these lips of clay, anoint the ears of the hearers, that we may all hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church today, to the people of God today. Holy Ghost, I humble myself under your mighty hands, and I say yes to your will, yes to your way. You speak through these lips of clay, for you know what we all have need of. Who knows the mind of God save for the Spirit of God? So you know what we need, my Lord, by your Spirit, Lord. So I just yield myself now to the ministry of your Holy Spirit. And I say unto you, Holy Spirit, you can have your way in me. And to God be the glory for us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. As I always say on this radio broadcast when I come on here, in my prayer, that I also say to you all, you know, what an honor and what a privilege it is that you all would allow me, that you all would tune in to listen to this broadcast. And I trust that it is a blessing to your life, is the word of life, and is designed to bring life. And the life it is designed to bring is just not natural life, not just ordinary life, not just human life, but Zoe life. Zoe life is the life in the absolute sense, the life the way God lives it, and the life the way God originally intended for you and I to live. You know, Jesus said it this way: the thief come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and that more abundantly. The that more abundantly is superior in quality and superior in quantity. The God kind of life. Once again, life the way God lives and life the way God originally intended for you and I to live. Do you know what God's original plan and purpose and desire for our lives in our, here on earth and his purpose and how he designed for us to live? He designed for us to live. That's what I always say on this radio broadcast, hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. He designed for us to live as kings, as queens, as rulers over a domain, just like him. He's a king, and he has a domain. He has a territory over which his governing influence boy, has all the authority, all the dominion, all the power, all the might. What it is a king. And his kingdom, his territory. And in that territory is called heaven. And in that territory, he ruled. And he reigned. Hallelujah. And he lived that God kind of life. Can you imagine what life is like? The God kind of life. And the God kind of life that's in heaven. Can you imagine what kind of life that is? Well, the Bible said this way, eyes ain't seen, our ears ain't hearing. It ain't even entered into our hearts yet to the things that God has in store for us, you know, that kind of life. But we haven't seen yet. We've just been living natural life, human life. And the word of God say, how long will we live and die like mere men and mere women when all the time we are the sons of the Most High God? We are the offsprings of the Most High God. We are little G gods, not capital G, not God himself, but little offsprings of God, with the same character, the same nature, the same attributes as God. And boy, when he created us, just like him. And just like he have a territory called heaven, then he created a territory for you and I to have. And the territory that he created for you and I to have is called earth. That's our domain. That's our territory. That's our kingdom. That's the territory which God gave us power, control, influence, dominion, authority over. For what purpose? What's his program for earth? God created earth, and God has a program for earth. And the program that he has for earth, is that it be on earth just like it is in heaven. That's God's purpose for creating earth. Why? Because he know he created his children. Before the foundation of the world, we was already in him. And he wanted us to be just like him. And he wanted us to reign over territory just like him. Like I say, he reigned over the heaven, and we reigned. The territory he gave to us is earth. The Bible says in this way, the heavens belong to God, but the earth he gave to man. What do you think he gave the earth to man for? There's a purpose why he gave the earth to man. And that purpose is because he wanted to be in our territory, just like it is in his territory. What's his territory? Heaven. What's our territory? Earth. What's God's program for our territory? That it be in our territory, just like it is in his territory. What's his territory again? His territory is heaven. What's our territory? Our territory is earth. What's God's will and desire and original intent and purpose for him creating the heavens, the earth, and his family of sons, us, so that he could extend his governing influence of heaven, from heaven to earth. And his program, the way he's going to get that done is through his family of sons, called mankind. That's you and I. And what God is after? It's God doing the work. It's God's ideal. It's God's original intent. It's what God's doing. If you break the kingdom of God down to its simplest definition, I would say it this way. The kingdom of God is God's way of doing things. Not our way, not man's way, not the religious way, his way of doing things. And when we come to the knowledge of his way of doing things and what he is doing and get in on that, instead of trying to get him in on what we are doing, but when we cease from our ways and get in on what he's doing, then the Bible says we enter into a rest where we cease from all our ways and we get in on a completed work. We get in on what he's doing. And what's he doing again? His intent and desire and plan and purpose for our lives and the earth is that he would, through his spirit, by his spirit, extend his governing influence of heaven to earth. You know, remember when the disciples asked Jesus, they teach us how to pray, and Jesus taught them, gave them a template, a model, you know, through which an outline, a guideline through which to pray, you know. The Lord's Prayer is not really, you know, what we call it, the Lord's Prayer. It's really a seminar, a template, an outline that Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray. And one of those things that he said in there, the first request that he said in there, the first petition that we have to make to our Father in heaven is what? Father, let your kingdom come. Why? Because when your kingdom come, then your will, what's his kingdom? His way of doing things. When your way of doing things come back to the earth, then your will can be done here on earth. Where? Here on earth. What? Your will, Father. What's your will? That it be here on earth just like it is in heaven. That earth be a colony of heaven. And the same thing that's going on in heaven be going on in our lives. The same thing that's going on in God's life in heaven, the same thing that's going on in our lives here on earth. That's God's desire. That's God's original intent. That's God's original plan and purpose and desire for mankind, for the earth, and for his overall purpose. What's his overall purpose again? I'm going to repeat it again, maybe several times in this broadcast. His overall desire and purpose and plan for our lives is that he extend his governing influence of heaven to another territory, a seen realm called the earth. And there he would place his offspring, mankind, that's all of us, on this earth in an environment, in an atmosphere, in literally the presence of the Lord. The Bible called it the Garden of Eden. And for what purpose? So God planted a atmosphere and an environment, a spot on the earth where his literal presence could be. Can you imagine what kind of environment and what kind of atmosphere that the literal presence of the Lord would produce on a spot on the earth? That kind of atmosphere. Whether I'm talking about, we sing the song, the presence of the Lord is here, but I'm talking about the literal presence of the Most High God on a spot on the earth. A delightful place. Our Bible called it the Garden of Eden. And the Bible says, and God planted that spot. God planted a spot on the earth where his literal presence could be, where he can commune and walk and talk with his mankind, his children, the whole human race. Daily, like the scripture say, we Adam walked and talked with God on a daily basis in the cool of the day. Unbroken fellowship in a delightful place, in the literal presence of the Lord. Can you imagine what kind of life that was? Can you imagine what kind of life Adam and Eve was living in the Garden of Eden on earth before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Can you imagine what it would be like on the earth, what the earth would be like, what we would be doing on the earth if Adam and Eve would have never willfully disobeyed the known will of God, if they wouldn't have rebelled against our God? I tell you what it would be like. The whole earth would be like the Garden of Eden. The whole earth would be just like the Garden of Eden. It would be on earth just like it is in heaven. The Bible said this way, and one day it's going to be that way because God started it. But the Bible said one day the whole earth is going to be filled with the glory of God. What on earth? The whole earth is going to be filled with the glory of God. What's the glory of God? The express fullness of God. I'm talking about his character, his nature, the atmosphere, the environment, you know. The whole earth is going to be filled with the glory of God. Let me say it in a simpler way. They're going to be on earth just like it is in hell. When God finished with this thing and it's all said and done, sometimes we might have the wrong concept. When God finished with this thing and it's all done, it's going to be on heaven. It's going to be here on earth just like it is in hell. even if God got to create a new one. You know, your Bible say in the book of Revelation around the 21st chapter, it say, behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And I saw the holy city, Jerusalem. That's the city of peace. That's heaven on earth again. I saw, boy, that Garden of Eden, that atmosphere, that environment, that's just like heaven. I saw it, boy, coming down from heaven with all God's children. All of us, we're going up to heaven, you know, for the season that we're going to be up there. But when it's all said and done, then we're coming back. We're coming back where, Arthur? We're not going to spend eternity in heaven where God is in his territory forever and ever and ever. Unfortunately, you know, there's most believers' concept of it, but that's only because they don't know his story. They don't know about the kingdom of God, you know, about what God is doing. Religion prepares to go to heaven, but the kingdom of God prepares for to live in heaven here on earth. That's God's desire. He wanted to be on earth just like it is in heaven. And his way of getting that done is through his family of sons. Word son there, I'm not talking about male. That word son there means offspring, or the spring off from. So he got male sons and he got female sons. But we are all the offsprings of God. We all come from God. When I say offspring, we all come from God. Some of us have male bodies, some have female bodies. But we are all offsprings of God. We are all sons of God. When the Bible says the sons of God, it's already talking about the offsprings of God. That's all his children. That's all of us. And boy, he loves us so much. You know, in your Bible, you know, in the book of, I think it's Proverbs, or maybe in Psalms, you know, where Jesus was talking and wisdom was talking. I think it's in Proverbs chapter 8, where he was saying, I was with my father even before the foundation of the world. I was his delight, boy. And he was so pleased with me till, boy, it inspired him to have a whole bunch of just like me. So he decided before the foundation of the world that he would create a whole bunch of them, just like me, just like who? His original son, his only begotten son that was with him from everlasting to everlasting to everlasting. We know him in a manifested way as Jesus. Hallelujah. God knew him before he was Jesus. Then God knew him as the Christ, the anointed king. That's what the word Christ means, anointed king, anointed ruler. What's a king without a territory? He has to have a territory. So what he is, boy, he's the Christ, the son of the living God. A lot of times we know him as, in the religious world, we know him as Jesus, you know, and Jesus is the physical body that the son of God, Christ, dwelt in. See, that's another lesson there, you know, in order for God to do anything in the earth, he gave dominion in the earth to his offspring, to humans, to spirits who live in a physical body. You know, when God created us in his image and his likeness, on his way to us fulfilling his overall purpose and plan for our life, making earth a colony of heaven, he gave this command. He said, let them, let who? Let all my offsprings, let all my sons, let all those who are offspring from me, let them have dominion. What you mean? Let them have rulership. Let them have authority. Let them have control. Let them have power and influence. Over what? The fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth upon the earth, over all the earth. What's that, Arthur? That's God giving us kingship. Hallelujah. That's God giving us authority and power and control to rule this territory. Glory to God. What do you say? Let them. He said, let us make them in our image and likeness, but let them, when he said let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth upon the earth, and over all the earth, he was giving us kingship over in the earth. And listen, when he said that, one thing about our Father in heaven and the kingdom of God, our God's way of doing things, he's never going to violate his word. He's never going to go against what he said. He said, let them, or let us, mankind, let them have power and control and influence over this territory that I created for them. Let them be the rulers. Let them be the masters. Let them be kings. I'm king of my territory, the heaven, and they're king of their territory, the earth. Now notice, man, when he made us kings, he didn't make us kings over one over people. He made us kings over a territory, glory to God, a territory called earth. What he gave us that authority and power and control and kingship over the earth for us, so that we could rule this earth and so that we could dominate this earth and so that we could manage and set up on this earth, boy, in our territory that he gave us called earth, just like it is in his territory. Boy, so that it might be on earth, just like it is in hell. Listen, believers been praying that prayer ever since, you know, ever since Jesus taught that to his disciples. And perhaps they have not really understand what you've really been saying. Our Father, that's source and sustainer. That's Abba. That's Daddy. That's source and sustainer. Hallowed be your name. He worthy of all the praise. And when you come to the knowledge of what he's done and what he's already done and what he's doing, what he's already done and what he has already completed and what we are already becoming, then you will come to the knowledge that you will give him glory and honor and praise all the days of your life. If we knew all the things that God has done for us and had in store for us, we wouldn't need nobody to coach us into praising him. But we'll wake up, boy, with praise on our lips and with thanksgiving in our heart, boy, hollering be his name, right? Because of who he is and because of what he's not just only doing, but what he's already done. Listen, do you know he's already saved us? Do you know he prepared a salvation for us even before the foundation of the world? Do you know he's already healed us? Do you know he's already delivered us? Do you know he's already provided for us everything that we have need of? You know, listen, in prayer, a lot of things we're asking God to do that God has already done. I'm going to say that again. A lot of times in our prayer, we ask God to do what he's already done. And we ask him to do things that he commanded us to do. But he said, y'all have dominion over the earth. The earth is your territory. You reign over that territory. And what you reign over, what you set up on that territory, whatever door you open, if you open up all the doors of the treasures of heaven, then boy, the doors in heaven will be open and it'll be in earth just like it is in heaven. If you lock the door, leave them doors locked of heaven on earth, then it ain't the door to heaven. The earth is going to be locked. I give you the authority. I give you dominion. Sometimes people say, well, why God let this happen? And why God let that happen? God didn't let anything happen. Mankind let that happen. The heavens belong to God, the earth he gave to us. So if anything going on in this earth, it ain't because God allowed it to happen. It's because we allowed it to happen. We got out of the will of God and rebelled against the known will of God. And man gave the authority and dominion that God gave you and I over this territory. We gave that over to a wicked angel who went bad, Lucifer. And Lucifer, man, began to set up his kingdom or his way of doing things on our territory, the earth. And instead of it being on earth like it is in heaven, it's on earth like it is here now. Why? Because that authority and dominion and power and control that God gave to mankind, his children over the earth, in Adam, he turned that authority over and gave it over to an unemployed cherub, a wicked angel that went bad. And Satan, man, through the scriptures, this is another story, through the Nimrod and the Babylonian empire that was set up on the earth, set up, boy, his kingdom on the earth. And instead of it being on earth like it is in heaven, is on earth like it is here now. But all the turmoil, all the hatred, all the racism, all the evil that's in this world, that's motivated and set up and influenced by the devil, Lucifer. How are you able to do that? Because the authority and dominion that God gave to mankind over this territory called earth, and Adam gave that authority and that dominion that God gave him, he gave it to the devil. And the devil plunged our earth and our world into what we have here on the earth. But let me tell you something. Hallelujah. About the God that we serve. That's why I say, boy, we knew the kingdom of God and what God is doing and his way of doing things. You would know that God already had a plan for what the enemy was going to do even before the foundation of the world. Listen. This is how much he loves you, and this is what, this might, oh Lord, when I think of his goodness and all that he's done for us, let me tell you something. He cleansed us, Adam, and every mankind that came after Adam, boy, he cleansed us from all our unrighteousness, all our unrighteous acts, our sins, everything else, even before he made us. Let me say that in a different way. You thank God he's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He know everything. He got all power. He know everything. He know the end from the beginning. In fact, he finished first, and then he started. That's what the Bible says in the book of Isaiah. Fix this in your heart. 46 verse 10, Isaiah. See, I'm God, and there's none like me. He said, in fact, I show you that there's none like me. I declare the end from the beginning. And he said, in the ancient days of time to come. And he said, my counsel gonna stand. What he's saying, Arthur? He said, I'll finish with your life first, and then I'm going to start. Listen, here's the scripture. Your Bible say, boy, behold, the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the world. Listen, God paid the penalty for all our faults and mistakes even before he created us. I'm going to say it again. Behold, the Lamb of God that was slain. When? Before the foundation of the world. It was already done. When was he slain? On Calvary Hill? No, that was just a manifestation of something that was already done. He finished first, and then he started. He knew Adam and Eve was going to do what they did. He knew everything. But he had a plan for that even before he created them. That's why they say, boy, Christ was, Jesus was slain, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Let me say it in a different way. He paid the penalty for our sins even before we sinned. He cleansed us up from all our unrighteousness before we got out of right standing with God. He died even before he came to the earth, before he was manifesting on the earth. He was slain before the foundation of the world. The penalty for sin was paid, man, before the foundation of the world, before mankind even sinned. That's how much God loves you. I told you he declared the end from the beginning. He finished first. You know what the finished product is? It's on earth just like it is in heaven. And you and I and every man and every woman and every boy and every girl is walking and talking with God in the cool of the day in heaven on earth. That's the end of the story. That's what people say, I read the end of the book and we win. Listen, man, that's just a cliche. But what the real story is, boy, if you really read the end of the book, you'll find out that you really are, we really do win. Because the end of the book say, boy, behold, I quoted it earlier, the holy city, God, behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. That's all of us and the people and the peace of God and the peace of heaven and the Garden of Eden. Coming what? Coming back to the earth. And we shall reign on the earth forever. We shall reign where, Arthur? On the earth forever. See, religion prepare you men to just put up with the status quo of what's going on here. And when we all get to heaven, everything going to be all right. What a day of rejoicing going to be, you know. But the kingdom of God is totally different. It don't prepare us men to just live on this earth, man, and live and die, man, and do the best we can, man, and when we all get to heaven, it's going to be all right. No, that's not God's written a plan and purpose for our life. He's written a plan and purpose for our life that we rule and dominate this territory called earth with this in mind, that we set up the same culture, the same influence, the same characteristics, the same, just like him. That's our assignment on earth. What? To make earth, that's our assignment over our territory, was earth to what? To make earth just like hell. So when it's all said and done, baby, it's going to be on earth just like it is in hell. And we're just like God was with Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and walking and talking with them in the cool of the day, unbroken fellowship, and in that spot on the earth that God created called the Garden of Eden where he placed mankind in, that atmosphere, that environment, that's how the whole earth going to be, just like the Garden of Eden. And it's going to be on earth just like it is in hell. Listen, God started that. God begun that. And he who have begun a good work, we quote it all the time, but you'll be quoting it in different ways. He's talking about the work that we're doing for him. Now, he say he who have begun a good work in us. We quote it sometimes and misquote it. We're thinking about being the good work that we're doing for God. No, listen, thank God for the thing that we're doing for God, but I'm talking about something way greater than what we can do for him. I'm talking about what he has done for us and what he's continuously doing for us. What he done for us, boy, he created us in his image and his likeness. What he done for us, Arthur, he gave us dominion over our territory. What he done for us, Arthur, he gave us power over all the powers of our enemy. What he done for us, Arthur, he redeemed our life from destruction. He's restored back to us everything that we've lost. He rewarded us for everything. Listen, God's whole work is a rework. In the Bible, you hear a lot of words like redeem, recompense, reconcile, restore, reward, revive, receive. What does re mean to go back? Well, everything else that God is doing, this whole program, boy, through Christ Jesus, boy, is a rework. What? Repent. You know what pent means? Pent means top. That's where, you know, we get our word, the pentacle, the top. That's why the rooms on the top of the hotel, they call it the penthouse. That's the very top, the pinnacle, the top. Repent means, if pent is top and repent, that's a grammatical construct now. You put a prefix before it. What re means? Go back. What pent means? Top. So repent means come back to the top, man, well. God's original intent and God's original desire, God's original plan and purpose for our lives. What are the repent? Come back towards God's original design. God, what's God's original design? For that we be in his image and his likeness, his character, his nature. Ruling and reigning, boy, in our territory just like he's ruling and reigning in his territory. Walking and talking with God in the cool of the day. Unbroken fellowship. No rebellion against God. One with God. Consile. That's what consile means, to be one. Reconcile means to be one again. Deem, D-E-E-M, means to own. God owned us by creation, by choice, and he lost us in Genesis chapter 3. Redeem means to own again. Hallelujah. He lost us in Adam's will for disobedience against the known will of God. But boy, in Jesus Christ, he redeemed our lives from that destruction. He purchased us back. He bought us back. He owned us again. What deem mean? Deem, D-E-E-M, that means to own. What redeem mean? That means to own again. What consile mean? To make one. What reconcile mean? To make one again. What's restore? Store means to place something in a spot. To store it there. Restore means to put it back in that spot. I didn't say replace. He didn't do something to replace. But this is this restoration work is different from replace. You see, if I had how can I say it? Help me, Holy Spirit. If I had a decor that I set up on a mantle or arrangement that I set up on a table, and it fell from the table that I had it on, and I picked it up and I put it over on in another spot, then I didn't restore it. I replaced it. I took it from the place that it fell from, and I placed it in another place. That's replaced. But God's work is a restoration work. We were stored in the Garden of Eden, man. We were in walking and talking and recording in the cool of the day, unbroken fellowship, boy. And that's where he stored us at. The Bible says, and God planted a garden in Eden, and there he placed the man. There he stored us, where in his presence, in that atmosphere, in that environment, where the literal presence of the God, I'll say it again. Can you imagine, boy, what life would be like in heaven? Where everybody, man, all our believers, man, yeah. Greatest desire is to get to that place. When God's greatest desire is to bring that place, watch this, back to you. Because you were in that place at one time. It was heaven on earth. That little Garden of Eden, that was a little carbon copy of heaven. The presence of the Lord, the literal presence of the Lord. The atmosphere and environment. That little garden, man, was a representation of heaven on earth. That's the spot where God put Adam and Eve in. That's where he was stored at to fulfill his purpose and his desire. From that place, Adam fell from that place and got put out of that place and was replaced. Instead of born in the Garden of Eden, he was replaced and put out in the wilderness in another place. But boy, God's redeeming work was for a purpose. Not that man, we could, man, fix up the place where we would replace it to know that we might come back to the original place. That's the restoration work of God, to restore back to God's original place and God's original plan and God's original desire and intent for our lives. What is the original desire and intent and plan for our lives here, boy? Is that, boy, through us, he will colonize the territory that he created for us, earth, with him. So that earth would be a colony of heaven. So they would be on earth just like it is in heaven. Once again, how are you going to get that done? Through his family of sons, through his children, through us. He's not going to do that himself. He needed people to do it through. So he established a people called mankind as us. And he stored us in that place, the Garden of Eden. The restoration work of God, boy, is to, we were stored in one place, and well, when Jesus Christ came, the redeeming work, boy, when he purchased us back with the blood of the Lamb and everything else, he didn't only redeem our life from that destruction that we found ourselves in when we was put out of Eden into the wilderness, into this old world system that we live in now, then God wanted to restore us back to that original place. Restore. That's the restoration work of God. To restore. To restore what? All your dominion that he gave us in Adam before they ate out the tree. What's dominion? The right to govern, control, and influence. Have authority over. What? People know a territory. What territory? The earth. For what purpose? So that we would make man our territory just like our father's territory. See, you're trying to get to heaven. When God desired, God did thing is to restore heaven back to us. Here's a twist. Here we are, the body of Christ, the church, and here's our concept, boy. Live the best we can, you know. Obey the law of Moses that God gave to Moses. Live the best we can, man. And then when we die, man, we're going to make it to heaven. And we're going to live in heaven, man, with God forever and ever and ever. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what the Bible is about. The Bible is about, boy, God set up heaven on earth, and he lost that. And in his son, Jesus Christ, boy, he came and redeemed our life from that destruction that's out here in this wilderness, in this world system that we live in, and restored us back to the literal presence of the Lord. What he did, restored us back to the Garden of Eden. Instead of angels there with flaming swords to keep to guard the way to the tree of life, man, there's no more angels there with flaming swords. They gone back up to heaven. There are now there's a door, an open door, a door that don't have no lock on it, a door that don't have, man, you know, no key to it. Ain't no key to the door. It's an open door. Who is that door? That's Jesus. Jesus ain't it. He the way to it. He's the door. What door, boy? Back into the literal presence of the Most High God. Remember when Jesus Christ died upon the cross and the wall of partition that separated the holy place from the holies of holies? What's the holy place? That's where we come together and we worship God and we get in the presence of God here like the song we sing and everything else. And God's presence is around us and everything else. But then there's another place called the holies of holies. And that's the literal presence of the Most High God. I ain't talking about like the song we sing. I'm talking about I don't even know how to say it, boy, the literal presence of the Most High God. Glory to God. Oh, Lord. I say it again. Can you imagine what life would be like on the earth and what life would be like in our lives here on the earth if Adam and Eve would never ate off that tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Instead of that little garden being in that one spot on the earth, that garden would be on every spot on the earth. And the whole earth would be filled with the glory of God. The manifested presence of God. Not just the presence of God, but the manifested presence of God. The manifested fullness of God's presence. Not like we know of it. I'm talking about the manifested fullness of his presence on this earth, in our lives, on this earth. Well, listen, boy, Adam and Eve got put out of that spot. And their sin separated us from that spot and from God. So we could only come through the gates of thanksgiving, and we could only come through the courts of praise, and we could only come in through the priesthood and through our church services and through, you know, the means through which, man, we know we worship today. But, boy, let me tell you something. Why? Because nobody could go into the presence of the Most High God. Why? Because we are all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And sin can't go in there, not in the presence of the Lord. Could nobody go behind the veil into the holies of holies but the high priest? And he could only go once a year. That was for to present the atonement and the sacrifices for the sins of the nation, man, for that whole year. But when Jesus Christ died up on the cross, the Bible says the wall of partition that separated the holy place from the holies of holies, the literal presence of the Lord, the throne room of God, the throne of God, the literal presence of the Lord was torn in two, signifying that you and I, the flaming sword, the angels with the flaming sword that protected man the way back into the Garden of Eden, back into the literal presence of the Lord where we could eat off the tree of life and live forever and ever and ever. That way that was protected by them angels with the flaming sword, that way them angels has been called back up to heaven and they've been replaced with a door. What door? Jesus. And through Jesus Christ, we can come on back into the literal presence of the Lord. We can come on back into the Garden of Eden. Because listen, the only way we can fulfill our purpose and desire that God has for our life, it got to be from that place. What place but God, the place that God put us in? What place was that? In his presence, in the Garden of Eden. Listen, if God trained me up to be a neurologist or a surgeon, you know, and then, man, you know, he took me down, man, to the desert where there's no hospital, no anesthesia, no equipment there to do my work from, it's going to be kind of hard, because that's not the place where God designed for me to do that work from. If he's going to make me a desert, if he's going to make me an attorney, if he's going to make me a lawyer, if he's going to make you a doctor, then he wouldn't, man, teach you all that knowledge and stay through all that and train you up all that and then stick you out in the wilderness in a barren place where there is no courtroom, where there is no justice, where there is no need, where there is no hospital rooms, you know, where there is no equipment and tools and everything else for you to do your work. No, you don't do that. If he's gonna create you to be a doctor, then he's going to send you down to the hospital. But that's where you do your work from. And from a doctor's office and from that environment, from that atmosphere, a place that's designed where you can do your work from with all the equipment that you need to do your work with all the authority that you need to do your work with. But when God created us, he put us in a place. And the only place that we can fulfill our purpose and destiny is in that place. In Genesis chapter 3, man, we got put out of that place. Adam and Eve got put out of the Garden of Eden over into the wilderness. And in that place, they can't fulfill their destiny. That's just like me trying to be a doctor. I'm trained. I've been in school for 12, 14, 16 years to be a specialized doctor. There's anointing in my gift and a great doctor. But then, man, you know, I'm locked up in a jail cell. Where I can't do my work at. I can't do my work in a jail cell. I can't do my work, man, you know. I can't do your work in the wilderness. You got to be restored. You got to come back into that place. You got to come back into the holies of holies. You got to come past the gates of thanksgiving, past the courts of praise, past the church service, past the sanctuary, past the good preaching and all that. That's all good and everything else. That's the process. That's the means. But that's a means to an end. What's the end? To get back into the literal presence of the Most High God. Because it's from that place that we can fulfill our God-given purpose and destiny and assignment that he's given us. You can't fulfill that, man, through religion. You can't fulfill that out in the barren land. You can't fulfill our purpose and destiny and be who God created us to be out here in this wilderness. Not even in Christianity. Not even in church. Not even in religion. None of that. Only place where we can fulfill, man, God's original intent and plan and purpose and destiny for our lives is in that place that he stored us in to do. What place was this? Heaven on earth. Well, Eden. And from that place, he said, I make the whole earth just like this spot here. For what purpose? So that the whole earth could be filled once again with the glory of God, with the presence of the Lord. For what purpose? So that it be in our territory, in our kingdom, earth, just like it is in his kingdom. Listen, that's always been God's original intent and desire and plan and purpose for our lives. And if you don't understand that, then you'll be coming up with your plan and your purpose and your destiny for your life. And the Bible says this, many are the plans in a man's heart. And those plans are good plans and great plans and everything else. But the best that we could come up with for ourselves is a joke compared to what God has in store for us. I told you our eyes ain't seen, our ears ain't even heard. The little bit thing that we're talking about now is great and awesome. But boy, that's just a drop in the bucket, man, compared to all. Compared to the love of God that he has for his children. Let me tell you something, man. You know, the suffering of this present time, I don't care what you might go through on this earth, man, in your days here upon this earth, whether you live 5 minutes or whether you live, man, 150 years, man, all the suffering that you might encounter upon this earth, I don't care what it might be, man, racism, man, slavery, all that, we as a people, all those things, and hardship and everything, poverty, lack, and hatred, all the suffering, sickness, disease, all of that, all the suffering of this present time ain't worthy to be compared for with the glory that God has already, man, set aside and filled us with. We're just going through some things here. And in this world that we were born and trained and conditioned to live in, that's motivated and set up, like I told you earlier, by the devil, in this world we're going to have them tribulations. And listen, and when we get about our Father's business, not religious business, not our church business, not our ideology and our theology and all that, man, all that is not right and everything else, that's a good thing. But what I'm talking about is a great thing. I ain't talking about what we do for God. I'm talking about what God is doing for us, what God has done for us, what God is doing for us, and what God will continuously be doing for us. What's that, Arthur? Redeeming our life from destruction. Reconciled us back to himself, hooked us back up with him, one again with him, restored back to us everything that we lost in Adam, our sovereignty, our dominion, our raw power, our fellowship and communion with the Holy Spirit, with the Father in heaven, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. I'm talking about communion. What communion mean? A common union, fellowshipping, man, walking and talking with a man in the cool of the day. No sense of guilt or condemnation, man. Why? Because you washed white as snow. I told you, boy, he did. And listen, he did all this here before we even sinned. I told you the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. God already fixed things, man, before we messed things up. Before Adam messed things up, God already had planned and died and everything to fix it up. He already knew that. The good news that I come on this radio broadcast to tell you every time I come on here is that ain't something that we're trying to get him to do. He done already did it. I told you, he done already saved us. He done already healed us. He done already delivered us. He done already provided for us. Everything that we have need of. He done already delivered us from everything that we need deliverance from. He done already healed us from everything that we need healing from. He done already saved us from everything that we need saving from. But what happened, Arthur? We becoming. What happened, Arthur? We becoming who we already are. We're becoming what God has already done and planned and purposed for our lives. Let me tell you something. I told you, man, many are the plans in the man's heart, but God's purpose is going to prevail. What he planned and purposed for our life, baby, that's what it's going to be. That boy, through the gospel of the kingdom, he's trying to get his family and son, man, back to his original intent. If we're not careful, we'll be preoccupied, man, with God's permissive will at the expense of forfeiting, getting into, watch this, his perfect will. Listen, that's a permissive will of God, and that's a perfect will of God. What you mean, Arthur? That's a thing that God has to permit to happen, because he can't violate his word. And then there's his perfect will. That's everything, man, that's according to his word. And watch this. It's according to his word that he spoke to mankind in Adam and Eve before, listen to this carefully, before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Like I told you, what do you think life would be like on the earth if Adam and Eve never would have ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? What do you think God and Adam and Eve were talking about when they were walking and talking in the Garden of Eden? They wouldn't have the same conversation that man they had after they got put out of the Garden of Eden. After they got put out of the Garden of Eden, man, listen, they weren't even no longer talking with God no more. They had to talk with God, man. Listen, God had to send them, man, prophets, and he had to speak through other people, man, to get to them. That's why he gave them apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Why? That's God speaking through mankind to his children. That's his permissive will, but that ain't his perfect will. His perfect will, boy, that you come boldly to the throne of God for yourself, man, that he talk to you one-on-one, that you have a personal encounter and a personal relationship with your Creator, with your Father in heaven. Thank God for the corporate relationship and the church service and all us coming together, man, as one and worshiping him, man, in one accord. I'm talking about, man, something far greater than that. That's a good thing. That's his permissive will. But his perfect will is he want one-on-one fellowship with you. He want to talk to you himself. He wants to reveal to you himself. He used man. The Bible says in time past, he spoke to us through the prophet over in the book of Hebrews. But in this day and time, he said he's speaking to us himself through his son. He wants to talk to us himself. He never wanted the Israelites to have no king. He told Moses, man, tell the people, man, I want to come down and I want to speak to them myself. They start saying, we want a king. We want to be like the other nation. We want a king too. God told him through the prophet, hey, listen, you don't need a king. I already got one preserved for you. I'm going to be your king. No, we want a king. We want a king. So, okay, God, so you want a king? All right, then, man. He can't violate our will. Like I told you, he gave us dominion. You say, you want a king? Okay, well, get you a king. I'm telling you, you don't need a king. I'm your king. And in the fullness of time, I'm going to come and manifest my kingship over your life and restore it back to you. But if you don't want to do your own thing and go your own way and everything else and you want your own king, okay, I can't violate that. Then, man, you pick your king. And they pick Saul. God said, Lord, have mercy. Why? That's his permissive will. But his perfect will is that he would be our king. That's why Jesus Christ said he's the King of Kings. Who he is? He's the King of Kings. He's our king. Not a man. If I say he didn't give us authority and dominion and rulership, man, and kingship over mankind, he gave us that over a territory called the earth. That's why I take care every time I come on this radio broadcast. It's an honor and a privilege, man, because I know who I'm ministering to. Even if the people who I'm ministering to don't know, I know who you are. I know that you're created in God's image and likeness. I know that you're a king. Sometimes bishops come on the radio and they announce me as King Arthur. Let me tell you something, man. It don't, your opinion don't matter about it. That's who I am. And that ain't the good news, man. The good news, listen, that's good news, but I got greater news for you than that. Yes, I'm a king, but then that's good news. But the great news is you're a king too. If you're in a male body and if you're in a female body, you're a queen. What is, you're a ruler. God gives you authority and dominion over every circumstance, situation, and symptom in your life. We lost that way of living. It got separated from that way of living, man. And, man, circumstance, situation, and symptom over in this wilderness experience began to rule and reign and dictate to us. Well, that redemptive work that God did through his son restored back to you everything that you lost in Adam and Eve. What I lost in Adam and Eve, I lost my dominion. I lost my kingship. I still had on a turban. I still, man, had a relationship with God. He still wouldn't, he never left him out and never forsook him, but he was no longer in him. See, it's a good thing for him to be around us, and the presence of the Lord is him. That's a good thing, but I'm talking about something greater. Not only is the Lord around us, but the Lord on the inside of us. Glory to God. That's greater. Thank God for him being with us, man, and among us, and never leaving us and never forsaking us. But he want to do something greater than that, man. He want to get back on the inside of you and like he was, man, in Adam and Eve by the power of the Holy Ghost. They was one. Unbroken fellowship. Jesus prayed the prayer in John chapter 17 or 16 and there. He said, Father, I pray that they may become one like you and I are one. That just like you and I are one, I'm in you and you in me. I pray that, boy, that they may come together as one and you and I who are one be in them and they who are one be in us and we all be what? One. Because that's how it was, man, in the garden in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Unbroken fellowship. Oneness. One. That's why I told you, man, God's work is a rework. Reconcile. Thanks be unto God who has given us the ministry of reconciliation. To go into all the world and let the world know that God was in his Son, Jesus Christ, reconciling the world back unto himself. No longer just man being around him. That's a good thing because he didn't never leave us and never forsake us in that rebellious state that we was born in. But he did something greater than that, boy. He cleansed us up from all our unrighteousness. That's why I told you that lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Who would pray with, so that we could get past the good thing and get to the great thing. What's the great thing? Not only just God being with us and not only our church service where we can feel something and emotionally get stirred up, or some people say, I feel a half that up. That's a good thing, man. But I'm talking about something greater than that to just feel it something. I'm talking about knowing that you know 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 beyond any shadow of a doubt that wherever you go, boy, your Father is not only with you, he in you. He ain't never gonna leave you no more. There ain't no more unbroken fellowship. There ain't no more sin that separates you from that. That's taken care of. What that lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world cleansed you from all unrighteousness so that you could come back again to God's original intent and plan and purpose and destiny for our lives. Once again, Arthur, what is the original intent and plan and purpose and destiny for our lives? That we be in his image, his character, his nature, and in his likeness. What's like? Function like him, walk like him, talk like him, think like him, live like him, be just like him, just like him. That's like, just like it, in character and in nature. That's the image, a fixed, predictable image of God. So when people see, God, they're supposed to see more God. Jesus said, I'll show you a mystery that's been hidden from ages and ages over in the book of Colossians chapter 1. You say, what's that mystery? First he said this, thanks be unto God who has translated us out of this kingdom of darkness that we were born in and shaped in iniquity and born in sin and shaped in and translated us out of this kingdom of darkness and translated us back into the kingdom of his dear son. Translated us out of this wilderness experience, this wilderness life, back over into the Garden of Eden. Translated us out of man, doing our best to make it in, man, to that place that he had prepared for us, to bring that place back, man, that he had prepared for us, reestablish it upon the earth, cleansing you and I up from all our unrighteousness, man, so that we could come back into that place, the presence of the Most High God, one with God, man, and from there, boy, be by our Father's business. What's that, boy? Ruling and reigning over every circumstance, situation, and symptom that might confront our lives here on the earth. What's that, Arthur? Kings and queens. God told the children of Israel in Exodus, he said, listen, y'all going to be a kingdom of priests. Why? Because you lost your kingship, but you're going to be my representative. You're going to be my spiritual representative. You don't have your crown no more, man, because you gave your crown over, man, to mankind. You made man rulers over yourself when I'm your king. So no, you no longer have on a crown, but you still got on a turban. I ain't gonna never forsake you. I ain't gonna never leave you. I'm gonna still be around you until I can cleanse you up, man, and not only cleanse you up, boy, but I'm gonna put something else on your head instead of just, man, a priesthood and a turban. I'm gonna put, boy, what you lost, what? I'm gonna put that crown back on your head. I'm going to restore your kingship back to you. To where you're not, in the Old Testament more, in the Old Covenant, man, they were just a kingdom of priests. But your Bible says in the book of Revelation, that chapter 5, he said, who can open up this book and tell us what's really going on, man? All these priest sermons and everything else, all that preparing to get to heaven, try to live with Bethlehem. Who can really open